Good morning, everybody. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for those I was able to connect with before the service started. I feel so welcomed. There's relationship here, so there's love and appreciation among us. But what I've experienced this morning is the love of Christ as well, and that edification and just that ability, even as I'm just so honored and encouraged by Phil's words and their expression, right, of the ministry of the house in some ways, where we speak God's design over people's life. We speak his heart over people's life. We build up, we edify. And I know that part of this morning is the encouragement and edification of Grace Fellowship towards me. Hopefully, there's going to be encouragement and edification from me to you. That's really what God has on my heart this morning. And I'm not surprised that in preparation for this morning and how it's playing out, that one of the main things the Holy Spirit's been speaking about this morning is freedom, that he wants me just to be free to try and follow him and walk in step with him. And there's an atmosphere that's created that allows that, because I do think there's some things that God wants spoken, not just here into Grace, but into this community, into the body of Christ, into this realm here in Sonoma County, to continue to advance God's purposes. And I think they relate already. I think the Holy Spirit has spoke really clearly what this morning is about. A lot happens in the morning. A lot will be said. So sometimes we just want to boil it down and not lose what the Holy Spirit's saying. The Holy Spirit's been saying God is faithful, and he's been inviting us to choose the Jesus way, to come into that framework. And so I want to talk about the faithfulness of God in a way that encourages us, and I want to offer just a few tidbits in regards to the Jesus way, hopefully that will equip us, specifically in prayer and in our prayer life, because this is something that I just so honor. You're not limited to prayer and worship here, but it's a huge part of who you are and what you're stewarding and how God's designed you to minister the freedom of Christ Jesus into Sonoma County. It's just so powerful. In John chapter 5:19, Jesus says, Jesus therefore answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, right? So he's saying it twice, like, pay attention. This is really true. This isn't just factual. This is true. Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. And whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And greater works than these he will show him, that you might marvel. Wow, this is amazing. And if I could maybe sum up what Jesus is saying, not just factually, he gives us the elements, right? The things I do, I'm actually doing as an expression of what I see the Father doing. The things I say, I'm doing as an expression of what I hear the Father saying. And maybe, and you can help me out, we'll be honest here. Is that all right? Freedom means honesty, right? So if I get it wrong, you can shake your head no. But if I get it right, you can maybe shake your head yes, that one of the things that Jesus is describing so powerful here is union. Union. The Father and I are one. The Father and I are united. And out of that union proceeds the things I'm saying and the things that I'm doing. Luke writes a little bit less mystically than John. And so he has this summary statement that's pretty cool. In Luke 5:16, 15 and 16, it says this. It says, but news about him, that's Jesus, was spreading even further. So we see there's this, out of Jesus' ministry, there's just this domino effect. There's these expanding testimony about what God's doing and the good news. And great multitudes are gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. And then it says, verse 16, but he himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. I love the Word of God, and I'm trying to continue to be a student of the Word and glean. And I want to be careful because the little bit that I know can probably get me in trouble in certain ways. But I do question why the word but is used to start verse 16 here. Because when I think of this conjunction, B-U-T, I often think of it in contrast, right? So red is good, but blue is better, right? It's this kind of contrast or comparison. It's setting one thing up against another. But actually, if you look at this word in the Greek, it means intricately connected to. It means related to. It actually means that there is a correlation between these two things that's taking place. The fact that there's favor coming out of Jesus' ministry, and the fact that there's a sort of anointing in his teaching that is drawing people to come and hear and bringing people together around him that would not come together any other way. And there's miraculous power that's flowing from his ministry, and there's healing and deliverance and signs and wonders. The reason why all that's happening is directly connected to the fact that Jesus has a lifestyle of getting away and praying and spending time with the Father. That's what's being said here in Luke 15 and 16. There's a direct correlation. Now, there's a contrast. There's a contrast in that in one expression of Jesus' life, he's surrounded by people and there's activities and there's all this stuff. And then there's this other expression where he's alone and isolated, sometimes described as lonely places with just him and the Father. There's one place where things are very public and there's one thing where things are very private, but they're totally connected and there's a correlation between what's going on in his private union with God and what's happening in his public life that's displaying and testifying to who he is. This is good, right? And I want to encourage us with this because we need to understand that what's true in the life of Christ is true in the life of Christ within the body of Christ. And so there needs to be this verse 15 and 16 expression. We're very excited to see miracles and to see people coming to Jesus. And we're, you know, to see the crowds and the witness and the testimony that God would be glorified in this place. And all of that is connected to our union with the Father and our relationship with God and prayer and the tuning of our hearts to hear what he's saying, to see what he's doing, and to just come right into that flow. Now, we've been talking about the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness is a word we can ascribe to character. His character is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can count on him in that way. And so it's that element. It's also very closely connected within the biblical framework to covenant. Faithfulness and covenant kind of stand hand in hand, that in that it's this heart for intimacy, that God is a covenant. We were designed for a covenant relationship with God, and even though we've broken covenant where we've been unfaithful, God, because of his character, remains faithful to his covenant purposes. Is this right? God is faithful. God is faithful. Even when we are unfaithful, he is faithful. Even when we're not participating in what he's doing, he's still doing it. Even when we're not echoing what he's saying, he's still saying it. This is powerful. So what it means is that when God has covenanted himself, Numbers 14, 21, that Sonoma County will be filled with his glory. Yeah. He said, as surely as I live, all the earth will be filled with my glory.
Yes, yes, yes.
We're not seeing the fullness of that glory expressed yet, but he's not stopped being faithful every day to that covenant promise. So even when Adam may not be faithful in the way that I'm called to be faithful, God's still being faithful here. Even when the church is not really getting the things that God is doing and wanting to do, hearing and saying the things that God is saying, even when we got this opportunity to be bold and speak with boldness the good news about Jesus and we shrink back, even when we're being unfaithful, and I'm not trying to bring condemnation, I'm just wanting to exalt Jesus, he has never stopped being faithful. An unfaithful church doesn't mean that God's not being faithful to what he's doing in the community, which means that God is at work and he's moving here, and this actually gets me pretty excited. It gets me pretty excited. But what's so cool is Jesus. What's so cool is what God has done in Jesus Christ. This ultimate faithfulness. Jesus is the ultimate expression of God's faithfulness to the covenant because he came fully God. God himself was incarnated into the world and he reconciled us to himself. He conquered sin and death in Christ Jesus at the cross. It's his ultimate expression of faithfulness. And the amazing miracle of it all is Jesus was also fully man. And it says that though he was tempted in every way like we are, he was without sin. And we often think about that in moral terms. Jesus didn't do bad things. He never lied. He never cheated. He never stole. He never abused another in anger. He always saw people through the lens of being a child of God. He was morally perfect. We often think of it that way. But when we're talking about being without sin, to me this morning, what I want to bring forward is Jesus was faithful. As fully man, he lived faithfully to the covenant. And because of that, he experienced this union that we're talking about. How amazing that Jesus was covenantally faithful to God. And because of that faithfulness, something new has broken into the world through what Jesus accomplished in the cross and is now broken into the world through the resurrection that God raised him from the dead. And so when we are operating in who God's made us to be in Christ and Christ in us, the part of the fruit of that is faithfulness. And it's this union, right, of God's faithfulness and our faithfulness. And so I want to bring forward a picture of that that maybe will help us in our prayer life this morning. But before I do, I also just want to share some encouragement about God's faithfulness. And, you know, the truth is, I think if we took time and reflected, this whole room would be full of people talking about how God's been faithful this week. Because God probably saved some marriages in Sonoma County this week. God healed some hearts, saved some lives. God revealed some callings and purposes. Like there's some people in Sonoma County this week that he gave a hint as to what he's designed them to do and to be. He actually did good things for people who don't even believe he exists. It just goes on and on. So I'm going to take a risk and just share some good news from places that the world thinks are prominent. And I just want to say, like, I don't know in God's kingdom what's prominent and not prominent. Probably the most important things that happened in the kingdom of God in Sonoma County this week, I have no clue of. I don't know. So as I share these things, I want them to encourage us, but I want to be careful not to sow into the world system of what's good and bad. Is that okay? All right, if you can hear the heart there. But you know, we pray into significant things. We pray into government, and we pray into community safety, and we pray into our school starts on Wednesday. We're praying into school. So I'm going to just share some cool testimonies about that. I'll start. I got a chance to meet with Dino this week, which was cool. He sends his love to you guys. To me, what happened in April, as you invited him, it's the first time he's ever been invited to speak in that way. I think it started something in the spirit. And I just want to encourage this week, God gave him discernment and clarity on behalf of his tribe. They've been hitting a wall in regards to a significant project related to a property in Windsor that God's given the tribe. And he gave him discernment to separate two things that have been connected, and it's going to allow that project to go forward. And there's a huge answer to prayer in that framework. And it's just this divine discernment where everyone was making assumptions about something, and God just removed an obstacle in that way, which is really huge, especially, again, as it relates to one of the things that God uses often the indigenous tribes around the world to highlight for us, is that actually place matters in God's kingdom. Place matters in God's kingdom. It actually very much matters among us as image bearers or people. Isn't it interesting that even when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. We're not designed to be placeless. We're designed to be placed. We're designed to have a sense of home. We're designed to steward a place. So that was an awesome expression. I got a call this week, and this is just, it's cool. It's not new, but it's cool. I got a call this week from a city council member in Santa Rosa, and you know, I can talk privately. I always want to be careful about specifics. Who said, Adam, I have on my heart, do you think we could organize sometime before the end of the year? I want to just invite the churches to come together and pray for our city. You know, that's kind of cool, right? When a council member reaches out, calls us and says, we need to pray. We need to pray for our city. I've seen what happens when the church gets together to pray. I thought that was really good. This is not my everyday life, what I'm talking about. This week was different and weird, but it was just this expression that God is faithful. I had a chance to meet with the police chief this week, and I'm sitting there with the chief and some of the key people in his department, and we're talking about Faith in Blue. We've done that last number of years. You guys have had an officer here to bless on a Sunday before, and there's been some pushback within certain members of the council about Faith in Blue because separation of church and state and other types of things. We said, Adam, I'm committed to fighting for this, not just because it's good for the community, and I really believe it's good for the community. He said, I absolutely need it for my department. He said, there is actually not a day of the year that builds my department up more than when we come and encounter churches all around this city at their place of worship. He said, it's like it changes their thinking. Being in a culture of honor, and we don't like being the heroes, but being in a culture of honor and being in a framework that says thank you, it like literally is just like a washing of the culture of our officers and that department in that way. So we have to move forward with this. You've got my support. I'm willing to take the flack. We've got to do this, right? That's pretty cool. And then last year, this week was a significant step in a long process. Last year, I was reached out to by a guy from Arizona. There's a ministry that he works in, and he had gotten a vision and funding that they were going to tell stories of God at work through his church, bringing changes to communities around the world. And so they broke the world into like 10 regions, and they've done 4 films. It's been like Thailand and India and different stuff like that, of ways where the church, and their heart has been not the big shock and awe stuff, but like in the nitty-gritty everyday life, like films that every believer could watch and say, yes, I can engage in that way. And he said, I heard about what's happening in Sonoma County and Santa Rosa in particular with these church school partnerships. And I think we want to choose Santa Rosa as the place to do the North American video for. So we've been talking about this for months and months. And this week, a film crew came to Santa Rosa and highlighted four stories of these partnerships that have been happening. And I'll be honest, you know, we're one of our frameworks of this ministry, and there's lots of stories of how God's moved, but it's been moving at the speed of trust. And those of you who know me, I'm boring. I'm conservative. I walk that line between like being strategically sensitive and being in fear. All right. Now, I don't want to speak that over myself in a bad way, but I'm saying that I'm not like, God's used me by his grace to do bold things, but you know, I'm not a guy who talks a lot. I'm not a guy who's, you know, that type of thing. So when we say move at the speed of trust, that means that we're not like trying to get in the newspaper. We've not wanted that. We've been trying to just keep things on the down low so God can just keep doing amazing things. And so I'll just be honest with you, I was getting a little bit nervous this week as we're getting ready to do this movie. All I was thinking is, we're going to do a film about trust, and we're going to break all the trust that we've built in the last 7 years. So I was feeling insecure because, you know, the film crew wanted to film on campus of these four different campuses, which meant we had to go a little more public to get permission to be there. And what God did was so amazing. We were welcomed onto every campus. There's one campus, they've got a new principal, so hasn't even met the church that's been reaching out there. And so there was this, like, the sheepish, like, can we do that? We're doing this video, whatever. And they're like, please come. We're so excited for you to promote. It was so funny because it's not our life. For you to promote all the amazing stuff that's happening, you know, through what you're doing on this campus. It was just place and place again. We had a school official who's, you know, regularly says, I'm not a Christian, and then says, but these church school partnerships are one of the best things that's happened to Santa Rosa City Schools. And they said it again. They were happy to just go right on camera with it. And it's just amazing. And then we were at Montgomery. A lot of prayers have been going up for Montgomery, especially since the murder that took place there. They've been in the paper for a lot of challenging stuff. And so we were doing a segment there, and we had a pastor talking about that thing. And, you know, the film crew, I was just seeing the testimony of the authenticity, right? We don't want to, like, sensationalize anything. We don't want to present something that's not real. That doesn't ultimately bring glory to God. He doesn't need our help in that way. So one of the things that really encouraged me is it just felt like time and again, the film crew was saying, and we had people on the crew who weren't even Christians. They just kept seeing how authentic what was being talked about was. And so it was really cool. And there happened to be this voluntary practice of the football team going on behind where we were filming, because there's been a key relationship there. It's been one of the testimonies that God's broken in. And the practice, we didn't know the timing. We didn't even know there was going to be a practice there. So the team starts running off the field, and we've got to cut the camera because we don't have permission to show their faces. But the audio is still running, right, in the director's ears. And so the director, I see his eyes get really big because he's hearing every single player is greeting the pastor. What's up? What's up? What's up? Everyone, he's speaking encouragement. You can just hear it. You see encouragement. And then one of the players goes, hey, pastor, do you have a minute for a quick word of prayer? And the guy's eyes just get huge, right? And so the pastor just turns around and says, hey, we're stopping the filming for a second. I'm going to go pray with the team. And so this pastor and 20 players from the football team gather over in the shade under the sun, and he can still hear what's being said because the pastor's mic'd up, right? And the pastor is he's like, hey, I just want to make it clear for all of you. You asked me to do this, so I'm not going to get in trouble, right? For, you know, all this stuff. And then just prays an amazing prayer. And, like, the director's just, like, on the verge of tears because he's just seeing the reality of what's happening. So I just want to say, guys, God is faithful. Listen to these stories and all these different elements. And his deep desire. In fact, the way when he made everything, he made it in such a way, not that he would do amazing things in the world, but that we with him would do amazing things in the world. That's part of what we lost at the fall. What we lost as sin came into the world and separated us from God is we lost God's dream. I don't know the best way to say it. We lost God's dream of us as image bearers partnering with him in all the amazing things that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, that Paul writes is beyond what we could ask or imagine. His dream and vision in this context was for us to be faithful covenant partners with him. Just like Jesus was. To do the things that puts a smile on God's face, that brings forward the beauty of his creativity, that speaks life and changes worlds. Do you hear me? Yes. I know this isn't new, but I just want it to sink in that God doesn't just want to blow our minds by what he can do. He wants to blow our minds what we get to do with him. It's just so incredible. And this isn't to exalt us and make us special in any way. In fact, I think when we really step into the expression of what I'm talking about, it wrecks us. We just cannot believe how good God is, and we cannot believe what he can do, and we can't believe how amazing that he just gives us a front row seat to see him at work. This isn't about making us special. This is just showing how incredible he is that he can even condescend in such a way to work with us and through us because he's just so good and he loves fellowship so much. Right? I'm talking to the right people here, I can tell. All right. I've not been paying attention to time. All right, so let me give us a picture here that's a really cool picture, and I just want to give you a... Honestly, it's something that I'm praying. It's something that I'm inviting God to change me through praying this way. And maybe it'll be a little tool that will help us. Is that all right? Just to nurture, because I know prayer is so significant. The author of Hebrews, when he's just saying, there is nobody like Jesus. And what Jesus has done is so amazing. And if we'll really get it and believe it, we'll come boldly before the throne of grace. If we'll really get it and believe it, we'll worship like we're going to worship in eternity right here and now. If we'll really get it and believe it, we will see how much better Jesus is than anything that the world would have to offer. If we'll really get it. And so he's confronting religion. He's confronting religion in chapter 10, and he's talking about the fact that religion should be empty to us because religion was never able to actually bring us into right relationship with God. It's all performance, it's pride, it's rooted in self and condemnation and all that stuff. But what Jesus has done actually brings us into union and fellowship. And he is the way, the Jesus way is the way to walk. And as he talks about that, he talks about the difference, this heart that's talked about often in the scripture. Hosea 6:6 and 1 Samuel 15:22, Jesus refers to it, I think, in Matthew 7, this key lesson that God is not after sacrifice, he's after obedience. And the type of obedience that's being talked about is this covenant faithfulness that what he wants to do, what heaven wants to do, there's a yes on earth. that says yes to that, and I'm going to engage it. What Jesus is describing here in John 5:19, where he's only doing what he's seeing the Father do and saying what he's hearing the Father say, this is obedience, but not, it's not coming out of just subservience, it's coming out of union. Yes. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Yes. We are subservient, but the obedience of Jesus comes out of union and fellowship and joy. And Jesus models this. So in verse 5, it says, therefore, when he, that's Jesus, comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. Right? He's going to be pointing to what happened through the cross. In burnt offering and sacrifices for sin, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. And we have in parentheses, it's an interruption to the thought. In the roll or in the scroll of the book, it is written of me. So it's talking about scripture. It's talking about Jesus fulfilled scripture. There's so many promises and prophecies, right? The New Testament summary is just all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, right? To do thy will, O God. So let's remove the scripture part for a second. And it says, then I have said, behold, I have come to do thy will, O God. Behold, I have come to do thy will, O God. This is the statement of covenant faithfulness from the earth, matching the covenant faithfulness from heaven. And there's actually a Hebrew word that I want to bring forward for our prayer life that speaks to this. First thing that I want to say is, it's interesting that it says in verse 5, he says. And if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, you will never see Jesus saying this. You'll never actually see Jesus saying this. He lived this. You look at Hebrews 10, it's actually a quote of Psalm 40. It's a quote of Psalm 40. And saying Jesus fulfilled this prophetic psalm statement in Psalm 40. You weren't looking for the sacrifices of bulls, but it's this greater sacrifice in Christ Jesus. And you see this summary statement, behold, I have come to do your will. And what I want to share with you, the thought that I want to share with you is that in Psalm 40, this behold, I have come, there's a conjunction word here, the way it breaks up, and there's a really powerful Hebrew word here. You may know it. It may be new to some of you. I just want to bring it forward in this way. The word is hineni. Have some of you heard this word, hineni? So hineni means here I am. Hineni means here I am. But it's a special expression of here I am. Actually, in the Hebrew, there's a couple ways that you can say here I am. Like in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right? It's like, you know, are you here? It's like present, you know, like the class teacher, like, are you here? It's like, yeah, I'm present. Or you know, there's another way where it's like, you know, you're in the house and you're wanting to know what room someone is, and I call out, you know, Zoran, where are you? And he's like, I'm in the kitchen, right? It's this type of locator type of word, but hineni is much fuller than that. Hineni actually is a sort of a covenant faithfulness word. Hineni is this here I am. It's not about just a physical locator. It is this element that says, I am fully present and all of me is before you. I'm fully present and all of me is before you. It means you have access to the fullness of my identity. It means that I am before you as an instrument, and every element of what I am purposed to be and do is available. And it means, as we see here in Hebrews 7, It means that you have someone before you who is fully willing. Just say the word, and I will do it. Friends, you know, I'm not a biblical commentator, but in study and in prayer, I would say one of the best expressions of Hanani is actually at a wedding ceremony where they ask the bride and the groom to say, I do. See, they stand before one another and they're entering into a covenant relationship that says, I'm stepping into a new identity together. Two distinct things are becoming one united thing. And I bring the whole of who I am, body, mind, soul, and spirit. And then there's this commitment to covenant engagement in sickness and health, for better and rich, you know, for better and worse, richer and poorer, all the stuff we say, right? That's what we should think of when we hear Hanani. And what's so cool is that in the Old Testament, Hanani is actually not used that often. But every time it's used, something deeply prophetic about who Jesus Christ is begins to happen. Something amazing in what God's about to do is revealed. When you see Hanani show up in Scripture, you know miracles are going to follow, right? Hanani is what Abraham said. The first time it's used in the Scriptures, what Abraham says in Genesis 22 when God comes to him and tests him and say, I want you to offer the most precious thing I've given you, even the fulfillment to my promise back to me. And it becomes this incredible picture, a revealing of God's character and name, and one of the most poignant prophetic pictures of Jesus Christ and what God's going to accomplish in reconciling himself to the world there. Hanani is what Moses says in Exodus 3 when God calls to him from the burning bush. And we know that's the beginning of this whole incredible picture of God delivering the Hebrews from slavery, and the prophetic picture that is of Jesus, the greater Moses that's talked about in Hebrews in that way. Hanani is what Isaiah says when he's in that throne room heavenly encounter and he hears the council of heaven say, whom shall I send? And Isaiah says, Hanani, Hanani. And the psalmist here, he says, if you want to understand what Jesus has done and the totality of his victory, he goes into this prophetic Psalm 40, and it says, this is the voice of the faithful son saying, Hanani, I am fully here, in full union, in full willingness. I will obey, as it says in Philippians 2, even to the point of death on the cross. So I've been practicing saying Hanani. I've been sowing Hanani into my life because the other element of here I am is actually, God, you want a covenant partner here in Santa Rosa, California. You want a Hanani heart in this place so you can do great and mighty things that glorify your son, Jesus. I want to end just by sharing a picture, if that's okay. In a certain way, there's so much hope every time you read Hanani in the Scripture, right? Because I'm like, okay, it's going to be fulfilled in Christ, and God's about to do something amazing. There's a little bit of pain because it was always meant to be Hanani. It's what God has always wanted. It was from the very beginning when he first said, let us create man in our image, in our likeness. This was the relationship that he always wanted. This was the relationship that God had in the garden with Adam and Eve before sin, right? So I want to just go there for a second. Just give us a picture, just this kind of prophetic picture and something that will maybe invite us deeper into the heart of God. After Adam and Eve take of the fruit they're not supposed to take of, go their own way, and there's a breaking in that union, it says that God, they hear the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Just as a note, when sin came into the world, God didn't run from it. He actually ran to it. There's a cry. Well, I'll get there in a second. So, and it says that he called out, "Where are you?" But Adam and Eve hid from God. They ran from God. Now, what I'm about to say, it's not in the Bible. But I just want to provoke us with a thought. God's a loving Father, amen? I don't get a stronger amen probably anywhere in Sonoma County than here. I know you guys know that so good. How many of you know parents like to play games with their kids? We like to have joy. Guys, protect play in your life. It's a gift from God. Your heavenly Father loves it. I kind of think all the Hebrew and Bible scholars that I'm aware of, I've never seen real serious criticism. They all, even though it doesn't say it directly, they all believe that there was a practice that Adam and Eve had of walking in the garden. The language about them hearing the sound, it references the sense that Adam and Eve would walk with God in the garden regularly. This wasn't the first time that it happened. And so there's this practice, right? And I kind of wonder if God had a game with Adam and Eve. That is, he would be coming into the garden to walk with them in this manifest presence way. As they began to hear the sound of him coming, then they would hear the voice of him speaking. And he would say, "Where are you?" And they would yell, "Hineni!" Kind of like a Marco Polo thing, right? "Where are you? Here we are. Where are you? Here we are." Because this is a celebration of the relationship that God had created them to share and have together. "Where are you? Here I am." Celebrating union. God, Father, what are we going to do today? Teach me about the platypus. And sin comes into the world, and suddenly, for the first time ever, the Father cries out, "Where are you?" Into the silence of children in the brokenness of sin and death who have run from him rather than to him and are hiding rather than standing before him saying, "We're here, all of us, for everything." In Christ Jesus, our Hineni has been restored. The freedom of sons and daughters to say, "Here I am." And I want to tell you, though it's a big mess, God sees Santa Rosa and Sonoma County like a garden through the lens of Christ Jesus. And he's here being faithful like I just testified to. But I believe every day he comes here, he cries out to his sons and daughters, "Where are you?" And every day we have a chance to say, "Hineni, here I am, Father. What do you want to say today? What do you want to do today?" So I want to encourage you as you consider your prayer life. It's not the only way to pray. It's certainly not the only thing to pray. But just protect room in your heart, in your time of prayer every day to say Hineni. To simply say, "Here I am." To ground yourself in Christ, in his covenant faithfulness to the Father. To posture yourself to participate in his great work of reconciling all things to himself in Christ Jesus. God bless you. Amen.